Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Last week in our question and answer series, I was talking about the need for a Christian to feed their new nature. Let's start the week with that thought today.
I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible says.
Our walk with God is not only the trying of our faith, but it allows us to prove our faith. While directed in love, we draw closer to him. Being that we are in this flesh, we have an old nature and a new nature. The old nature is the weed, while the new nature is the peas. One may not feed the peas nor the weeds. If we do that, the weeds will take over. Love is from the Greek word here in verse 12. It is from the Greek word agape. It is defined to direct the will as to find one's joy in something or someone. That is key in enduring when going through those troubles. Now verse 13 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Now, whereas verse 12 shows us the temptation that are troubles, trials, testings that come from the outside, the temptation in verse 13 may come from Satan, but it's because he has been given a place within us. We're not to give place to the devil. Perhaps you're not satisfied with your lot in life, and you're wanting it to be better because you feel I deserve better. That fully obliterates faith and the eternal in our mind for the present. As Bob Jones Sr. used to say, don't sacrifice the eternal on the altar of the present. Temptation to the things of the flesh that we might want to consume on our lust never comes from a holy God. Satan uses people, things, and your own fallen nature to bring this temptation. What comes from God is to draw out and build grace within us, not our corruption. In short, verse 13 shows us that God is impeccable. Verse 14 will show the contrast with man. Now remember, it was Satan that tempted Jesus with three temptations in the wilderness. Not God the Father, it was Satan. All was an appeal to the flesh, and in all cases, Jesus rebuked it by saying, "It is written." Now, you and I can be tempted to do things that are, as Jude 4 says, lascivious. They're immoral. They're selfish. Just plain sinful. Again, Satan is a deceiver. And so, he brings men in, as Jude 4 says, that creep in, and they turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. And so, doing that, they try to seek to justify these things under grace, just like Satan did with Jesus. He tried to use scriptures to try to justify that which was wrong. They turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. The bottom line is that the Lord God never tempts us to these things. Job was allowed to be tempted by Satan, as was Adam and Eve. It did not come from God. He only allowed it, and it was their opportunity to overcome it through the Word of God and faith. Eve made a wheat pry, to use God's word, and he said if we ate of it, we might. No, it's not we might. Satan even corrected her. Now says, you will not surely die. She says, we might die. No, you will not surely die. So that takes us to verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now look again there. Man is tempted and drawn away of his own lust. Now look, Satan, the world, the flesh, according to 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, is our enemy. When Satan tempts, it's our lust that draws us away. We get enticed by it. Now, before the fall, man was capable of immortality. He was given only one restriction. That involved not eating of a tree. Adam had a choice because of being in God's image. He had a free will because Jesus was virgin born. He did not inherit the sin nature. But as Adam, he has a free will. And you and I have a free will because we were created in God's image. God's image had a free will. The body is not God's image. God is a spirit. So therefore, being formed in his spirit, there was a body. As a matter of fact, even Adam, after he was created, he just lay there. Nothing was happening. And then God breathed into him the breath of life. God put a spirit in him. And so, again, a body without the spirit is a body that is physically dead. And that's what happened when man dies. He is physically dead, but his spirit leaves his body and goes to either heaven or hell. Now, Jesus was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. That is, without indwelling sin. For he had not a sin nature. He was solicited to sin by Satan, the scribes, and the Pharisees. We aren't told of all the temptations and specifics. But since there was nothing carnal in him, he did not sin and could not sin because there was nothing in him that would give in to that sin, even in his humanity. Now, we know that he knew that in the world, sin abounded. And as a matter of fact, he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. Verse 14 shows here in James 1, our own lust from within, that old nature inherited, it is enticed. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, tells us the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. But in the very next chapter, chapter 11, verses 13 through 15, it shows that Satan and his ministers parade as angels of light. They pretend to be what we are, but they're trying to bring down a holy, righteous Christian life. So it shows that there is a warfare and it has differences. Satan's weapons are lust. Ours are holiness. Ours is prayer. Ours is the Word of God. Lust from within is enticed from without. For us, temptation to sin is both internal and external. Regardless of our area of weakness, that is, the sin that so easily besets us, we need to deal with it scripturally, confessing to God and making things right. Understanding that we have a problem on the inner man. Now, whether it be with God and man or God and your employer, or whatever the area may be, the bottom line is that this temptation appeals to your natural desires of the old depraved nature. So, James 1:15, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You see, where we begin to fall is the temptations there. Satan brings it on. Then you begin to dwell on it. If you start to dwell on it, that's where you're going to fall. You'll be drawn away. Obviously, it starts in the corrupted mind that we have of our old nature. All lust does. Drawn away by the lust of desire that is in your old nature, the heart gets drawn away from that which is good and is enticed to cleave to that which is evil. Guilt and regret sets in only after you fall, not before. Therefore, as it is allowed to fester in your lust and begins to cleave to you, you become estranged from the life of God. You see, now the Bible is hardly read. Church is a hit and miss, and so many other things. So they begin to wander by degrees to what they think is the joy of the flesh. While the flesh tells you how miserable the walk with God is, your love for God begins to wane, and you find no joy or communion from the Word of God if you read it. It is only a religious exercise, not a communion with God. Desire will conceive a method for taking the bait and then seeking to justify it in your own mind. The progression seems to be the emotions are attracted, followed by the intellect being attracted. Then the sin comes forth. Death follows as a fruit of sin. It's not always physical death, for it is appointed unto man once to die. Often, it is death by what is lost. Sometimes, pastors lose their ministries. Others lose their health. Still others lose their families. Some lose positions of trust. It is interesting that verse 16 is what is written in the Greek is called a present imperative, meaning stop it. Stop it now. Don't allow it to happen again. What's verse 16 say? Do not err, my beloved brethren. Well, I hope that this question answers that dear lady that asked the question. And so hopefully this very email will help her as she teaches ladies. And that's one I got right on to answer right away because obviously she was in the process of teaching ladies from that book of the Bible.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website, and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible says, I will plant my feet on his firm foundation.